All right, folks. Welcome, everyone. Next up is Chris Loafing talking about changes we made in 4.0 for operational tools and visibility. If you do anything with operating clusters and you're curious about how 4.0 is going to shake out, this is a presentation for you, and particularly since Chris probably has some of the deepest set of experiences out there in terms of managing clusters for a while now for several different players. So good person to give it. Cool. Here's Chris.
Thank you. Well, with that, I'm going to first talk about what I'm not going to be talking about. I'm not going to be talking anything about how Cassandra works, its internals or its architecture or anything like that. That's going to be in a lot of the other talks, and I'm not going to have enough time to talk about that. I'm also not talking about monitoring tools, and by that I mean things like Grafana, using Prometheus, or Graphite. I actually strongly recommend that whatever you use for your other applications or whatever your operations team is strong with or comfortable with, to just reuse that, because you don't want to have any boundaries for your other people on your team to be able to go in and see what's happening. And that's included for alerting, too, is you use what you already use. And I'm actually not going to be talking about fixing any problems. I'm going to be referencing a lot of problems and some ways of identifying and telling what they are. But I'm not going to get into fixing them, because sometimes there's a lot of nuances or unique solutions and workarounds. If anything is something that has been bothering you, or you really would like to know how you would approach it, feel free to come up to me afterwards or ask in the QAs. What I am talking about is identifying production issues and tools that help to do it. These are going to be tools with Cassandra and tools outside of Cassandra. Initially, I'm going to be talking about the past, as in 3.0, 3.11, and 2.1, and everything previous, and how you would diagnose these issues. And I'm going to be getting into then with the present, with 4.0, now that we have Alpha 1 released, with the new virtual tables that are useful, and how and why they are the way they are, and some of the two new node tool commands. And I'm also going to be talking a little bit about the future, either some of them the very soon future and some of them distant future. So when we have a fire, there's different ways, different types of fires we have. We see some smoke in the distance, and we have time to dig ditches, do some control burns, prepare and plan. But there's also times that you just turned around and your car is on fire. And sometimes when your car is on fire, it's really hard to focus on what is the cause of that fire versus the fact that your pants are on fire. And you know, sometimes you do want to treat some of those symptoms, but you really want to get down to the cause. Was it the battery, the catalytic converter got too hot? Like, what's the cause is what you really need to get down to. And an example of this is garbage collections. Very often people misattribute problems to garbage collections. The garbage collections are a symptom of the problem most of the time. There are exceptions, of course. They cause high latencies and cause other problems within the system, but what we really want to know is what causes the garbage collections, and what is the actual cause of our problem today. There are tuning things with GCs, which is very helpful to do, but that's more of a smoke in the distance. We have regular GC problems, and we kind of want to make it a little faster, but that's not something that is the, your car exploded. It's really useful to know what the app is doing and having some familiarity with all of that. You don't necessarily always have that convenience, but the more you have with that, the easier it's going to be to come up with theories on what the problem really is and to rule things out and get a good start on things. I'm actually going to have a hypothetical issue that I'm going to kind of talk about throughout the presentation here. Where we just got paged for high relatencies and timeouts. So this is kind of a car fire situation where people are getting impacted immediately and we need to resolve it fast. If we have information about that cluster, we can apply that on our initial theory. Like, I know that this cluster that is having these read timeouts is Nate's cluster, and that guy's got tombstones everywhere. So it's something that I can then apply and come up with an initial theory. And like, perhaps my initial theory then is So the process for doing this, someone might recognize this process, but you have a question about what the problem is. You do a little preemptive research with the metrics that are available to you, come up with a theory, test it, look at the results and share with your teammates who are also, you know, pulling out their hair and sweating profusely. This is something that, this is the scientific method, which, while it doesn't always apply to everything, is always something that's useful to go. So here we have our maybe tombstone problem cluster. And something we know about tombstones is that they are going to be a local problem, as in the individual node that's doing the reads is going to have the problem pulling those off of disk. So we're just going to look at some metrics. There's the coordinator and local read latency metrics in whatever dashboard or collection tooling you have. We can see that there's, in this situation, three nodes have high coordinator latencies and one with a local latency. This then kind of says, okay, well, node three is probably the issue, so we're going to go and do further diagnostics. It might look differently. And this is where, once again, applying your knowledge about the application is relevant, because if, say, for example, they're using a different load balancing policy, the request might go to any node, which then has the high latency, because some of them are going to be still pinging that node three for the tombstones and hitting those issues. But, you know, there's always the classical example of we check our metrics and just everything's on fire. This is a situation that it's more intimidating, but at the same time you can look at it as we have a large sample set and we can just check any node and, you know, it's going to be easier, right? So now that we have our node 3 and we're going to go into it, we want to do further research. There's a bunch of existing tools that are there right now that we can use. I'm going to start really simple and get a little bit more progressively deeper as we go into them, what Cassandra provides, and then maybe some more advanced tooling. And then the problems with those and why we go to some of the new tools that exist in 4.0, and including things like the new node tool commands, the virtual tables, and then things potentially that we might see or will see in the future. First things first is logs. So we're going to open up Vim or grep, you know, or if you have something like Kibana or Splunk, you know, you could use that as well. And be looking for things like exceptions, errors, warnings. These are things that would potentially give you the answer really quickly on what the problem is when the logging is available. A good example of this is like if you have a 128 megabyte mutation that's getting pushed, the coordinator is going to send that to replicas, the replicas are going to throw it away, so you're going to get write timeouts. So there's your write timeouts. If you have a lot of reads, because Nate, going to tombstones, they are you're going to get that log message for when the read gets thrown away. If it's a newer version, you'll get a read failure, but you might be getting read timeouts on older versions of Cassandra. And then on top of that is you just kind of look through the logs. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's absolutely nothing in those. You can also check the GC logs. Here's an example, a GC log message where we have a one-second pause on the system. If you're using the default Cassandra options, you're going to get these application stop messages. They aren't necessarily tied to GCs, even though they are in the GC log, but that's still useful to look at because they could be tied to other issues, primarily like the stopping threads took. That's the save point pause that could be from high load or disk issues and stuff like that. So, on the logs, sometimes it's actually useful to have the logs on the application side as well. If you're using the Java driver, and I think the Python driver and some of the other ones have these as well, is a SQL query logger. On the application side is really useful because there are times where you will have the client having timeouts and issues, but on the Cassandra side, everything looks fine. There are causes for that, but having the metrics, the alerting, and the logging on the application side is really important. Unfortunately, you can't do that retroactively. So that's something you have to proactively go and have your application doing these logging. Moving on from the logs, there's a lot of node tool commands to be able to go through. It would be a really long and boring talk because I would have to iterate through all those and basically be manual, like a manual, and demonstrate all of them. I'm not going to do that. I am going to talk about some of them, primarily because these are node tool commands that I'm going to be referring to later in the presentation, and I want to make sure that everyone here has understanding of those. So one of which is NoTool TP stats, which is kind of a classic command to run, which will just tell you a little bit about what Cassandra is working on, what Cassandra is doing, whether they're reads, writes, compactions are running. It's what's running on the system. Another one is the top partitions. This is something that existed since 2.0, I think. And that is, you're going to provide it a key space and table and a time period, and it will tell you the partitions that are happening within that period by frequency. So here we have the writes with Chris, Andy, Jeff, and Nate are, you know, pretty low, but we do see that Nate is doing a lot of reads as compared to everyone else. So once again, that's a flag that Nate partition might be a problem. There's a bunch of other ones, like the table histograms and table stats, which is going to provide you table metrics, which if you know the table, that's the problem. That could be useful, or you might be using those to quickly try doing some bash things to try to find the high values of those tables. Proxy histograms is for those coordinator latencies. Hopefully all the metrics that these provide you have pushed to your metrics dashboard or graphing thing, so that way you'd be able to look at those a little easier. Compaction stats is if you do see there being high compactions, seeing what is being compacted. Info for general heap information, which isn't a snapshot of the heap, is actually kind of useless. But the cache info and the disk usage and things like that is particularly valuable. And then status just being the if there's no down nodes. So we did see with our hypothetical situation a long GCs, 10-second GCs. But now what do we do? We don't necessarily know what's causing them or anything, and this is where we have to actually move out of Cassandra a little bit, because we don't provide the ability to really diagnose that further from what Cassandra provides. So there's JVM and JMX metrics that Java provides, and some nice tooling around those. And you can do a snapshot of data with like heap dumps to analyze them. But really what we want to know is what the garbage is, what's taking up this heap and causing these GCs. The JRE and Java provide some tools. Of these, some have less value than others. JPS is essentially just PS looking for things of your user that getting the PID, which is going to be needed for the other commands. JSTAT is essentially useless if you have good GC logs. The one exception I have found where it's useful is to get the cause of the GC, because when there's a GC, it'll say whether it's a promotion failure or if like there's a system GC, something like that. But JInfo is actually something that I'm a particular fan of, because not only does it give us the properties and command line arguments that the process was run with, so we can make sure that what we think we're running with, we're running with, it provides us the ability to change manageable options at runtime. The valuable one there being the heap dump before full GC. If you have, say, Nate's only doing his spam of reads once every hour, but plus or minus 5 minutes, it's really difficult then to like capture that in logging onto the system and getting heap dump right at the right time, or to look at the metrics right at the right time. So with this, you would say when there is a event where the GC has to happen, take a heap dump. And then that's something you can enable and disable on the fly. Jcommand could take heap dumps or stack traces. You can also do that with JMX or the JSTAT command. You can also use it to enable the flight recorder. I cross that out because you can't use that in prod with the current versions of Cassandra, unless you're paying Oracle a lot of money, because the flight recorder is... but with Java 11 and Cassandra 4, that licensing changes. JMAP allows you to take heap dumps, look at heap histograms, or convert core dumps into heap dumps. For some of these Java provided tools, one of the operation tool belt commands is this Swiss Java knife. It provides a lot of helpful things with all the JVM and perf counters of the of the JVM and give it to you in an easier to consume fashion. Of these that I'm going to be going through is the top threads, the heap histograms, and the stack capture. The top threads is going to give you a lot of information and is really useful for diagnosing GC problems because it's going to give you the total heap allocation on your system. There's a few different ways to capture that that metric. If you're interested, you can come up and ask. I don't have enough time in this talk to go over them. But another thing it's going to provide is the allocation rates per thread. So you'd be able to see if, for example, a compaction thread is or a validation thread is generating 700 megabytes a second of objects on heap, you have a something to look into much further. There is a heap histogram, which this is going to give you what objects are on the heap, and there's another option with the dead young where it's going to say a histogram of objects that are getting collected during young GCs, which is going to be useful for seeing what kind of object churn is happening. This is something where like you could look and you see, like, well, if there's index infos, and this is going to require knowledge about Cassandra's internals, is that that's going to be a wide partition. The Merkle tree is from the repairs. The range tombstone list, that one you can probably kind of figure out from the name, is from, you know, lots of range tombstones being pulled onto the heap, mutations, things like that. And another command from SJK is the stack capture. And this is essentially going to take stack traces one after another on the JVM and store them in a really compact format, which you can then later analyze with other things. In this example, I'm capturing the stack traces for a minute on, and because, you know, we saw that our compaction, like if for example, with the T-top, we saw that compaction was generating a lot of objects, we can then look at, with the SSA, which you'd refer to the SJK manual for the different ways of doing that, you could then say, I only want to look at the compaction, the compaction threads, and give me a histogram of the methods that are being invoked in that sampling during that sampling, and you can also create flame graphs and stuff like that to like explore and look through. This is an example of something that you can see occasionally and has come up, and there's JIRAs and such is like purgeable timestamp and can be like 70% of your compaction time is just computing what's the purging if it can purge tombstones and the timestamps of those. Some issues with that, though, is the stack trace capture actually requires you to stop the JVM, go through all the stacks, go through all the current running threads, and get the stack traces of all of them, which is, although you won't notice a performance impact necessarily while doing that, it does require that in order to pause the JVM to get to a safe point, which in a lot of situations you can't just stop the JVM. You have to wait until you're out of native code or you're, which an example of that is like flushing to disk, which is something that we can't then pause. So then we miss that information because you have to wait until you get to a safe point and then only get the stack trace information at that safe point. Some tools that exist to like go around that is like Linux perf. And then there's like mapping agents, which doesn't suffer this safe point bias. It's a little bit more difficult to set up because it requires you to compile it yourself, and then it needs the preserve frame pointer flag, which can add up to 10% overhead onto your JVM. So it's a little expensive, but it's very accurate. A little less accurate, but a lot easier to use, and is actually my preferred thing is the async profiler. This doesn't have the safe point bias. There is an option, the debug non safe point, which makes part of it work better, but it's not necessary. It's just it makes the allocation profiling better, which is another thing that it provides is allocation profiling, where it will tell you what objects are being created, where are they being created, percentages of such. And then also if you're using Cassandra 4 or you have a big Oracle license, you can use the flight recorder, which provides a lot of this as well. in an example of the async profiler here, which is going to be impossible to read, but you can take a 30 seconds on a PID and get a nice flame graph of CPU time. You can also do it on allocation time. I find the flame graph for the allocation is not very useful, but the dump, the non-graphical view, is pretty useful, where you can actually see then where, you know, 1% of my allocations are coming from byte arrays in this location, this being the new messaging service thing where it's copying from the byte buff into a new byte array, being the primary cost in this situation. And then further down, it'll actually give you a histogram of what percentage of the allocations are from what objects. So you can see if, like, you'd see index infos, for example, with wide partitions because it's generating so many of them. And then we're getting to the point where we want to see, okay, we know that the index infos are a problem or the tombstones are a problem. We want to know what it is that's run, what it is that's causing those to happen. And really the only way with the existing things is to take a heap dump. Lots of ways to do that. You can use JMX, JCommand, JMap. If you want it to be really fast, you can use GDB or GCore and actually take a core dump of the JVM, which is going to be a lot faster, and then use JMap to convert it into a heap dump. Then use your favorite heap analyzing tool like YourKit or JHat, Eclipse, VM or whichever. Look through the set executor workers and see what the current reads are executing on the heap, or work backwards in the heap from the large objects and define what the read command is, and then reverse engineer the byte buffers from... As we're getting here, I kind of want to take a step back and talk about... This seems kind of silly that we're taking heap dump to see what's running on our system. This is, if you could imagine a parallel of MySQL requiring you to take GDB core dump and open it up and then analyze the current processes and then reverse engineer the bytes into the data based off the metadata that you have to collect from somewhere else to generate this information, it's kind of absurd. Because this is requiring large amounts of knowledge about Cassandra's code base, and this is requiring external tools from Cassandra, and you have to have advanced Java developer knowledge, basically, to even know that some of these tools exist. So this is kind of a problem. And in 4.0, we have started making improvements in this direction, because previously where we would have relied on some of these external tools, we're now exposing inside of Cassandra. That's the goal, at least, and we're also doing things like JMX being a tool to capture some of these metrics and this information, being a very Java-centric tool that is very difficult for, like, non-Java developers to capture and utilize. There are a lot of tools and things to do that, but having CQL is a nicer, more Cassandra-specific way to see that information. Speaking of virtual tables, these are the new ones in 4.0. There will be more coming probably relatively quickly, but these are the ones that got to the alpha. And there's quite a bit to start with, but it's still a long, pretty short list as well. And this is going to be, like, just like in CQLSH or like any other table, you could do describe the Python driver and Java driver and all these things. I'll support this these as well as normal tables. And you would then, it would look similar to a normal table. Like we have partition keys and clustering keys and everything like that. Like here we have this SS table tasks, which is kind of the equivalent of the node tool compaction stats. It's named a little differently because compaction stats doesn't really actually capture what it was printing out anyways, because it's including upgrade SS tables, cleanups, secondary index rebuilds, all these type of things. But normally you would use this for looking at, like, the current compactions. And something you can notice here is, as opposed to with JMX, where you would have to use, like, JConsole or something and, like, explore the mBeans to try to find out what the objects are, this is a little bit more easier for discovery and exploration. Instead of TPStats has kind of the equivalent with the thread pools, select star from thread pools. You could do queries on this for, like, where active tasks is greater than one, so you'd have more ability to actually explore and, like, tune what you're looking for. The caches is kind of like with NoTool Info, where we want to look at like our key cache and hit rates, size, that kind of thing. One of my favorites that was added is the settings, which this is NoTool does expose some of our runtime configurations, like for example the get compaction throughput would be one. But getting compaction throughput is going to be the same as a compaction throughput megabyte per second in the config YAML. And knowing that this node tool command is the same as this Cassandra YAML setting is basically just going to be experience and like knowing these things, like there really isn't an easy way of coordinating them. And there's a lot of things that aren't exposed in node tool or JMX that you still want to know. This is something that was essentially impossible before. Like, if you want to know, someone changed the Cassandra YAML to update the SSL things, and you want to know if that took effect or not. We didn't actually realize if it was bounced or which nodes have it or don't. You would have to take a heap dump and then look at the config file to see the config object to see what the value currently is, which is, once again, going into heap dumps and requiring things like that just to get information that is necessary to see what's happening on the system. There was ability to update them through this as well, which I expect, I hope to get in again in the future. So that way we can also be able to set them, like just an update or an insert command to the CQL table to update these settings. There are a bunch of table metrics, which is kind of like with the CF stats, is kind of the equivalence what this is pulling from, where we have read, write, and scan latencies, both from the local and the coordinator perspective. We have the tombstones, and like, for example, here's like the disk usage, where I want to see all the tables with over a megabyte of space being used. Or if we want to see read latency, where there's more requests happening than 1 second, because there's a lot of tables. And this is kind of goes back to with the current version of Cassandra, knowing what table it is that's being queried is a non-trivial thing. You have to, a lot of people end up writing Python things that parse CF stats and then sort them or organize them. An improvement in 4.0 as well in NodeTool is that CF stats does have a sort flag, which is a new option, which is going to be nice. But a lot, like historically, we've had this issue where just finding out what the table is hard when you have more than like a handful of tables. There's a new command client stats. I'm using expand here because it's too wide for my projector here, but you can get a bunch of information on all the connected applications connected to Cassandra. So if I want to see what apps are making the most requests, like if like I could perhaps identify that from Nate's desktop there's 1,000 more requests than anyone else, I know it's because of Nate. And then I can go to Nate's desk and, you know, poke him and ask him to stop. But there's a lot of other useful information here that, such as if, from an audit perspective, is there anyone using SSL ciphers that are not allowed anymore? Is there anyone using a version of the protocol that won't be compatible with the next version of Cassandra we're going to? Because we don't want to upgrade if we're going to potentially cause an outage for these applications. Things like that. There's also some new commands with the new internode messaging. This might be, I haven't actually dug much into this, so I'm not sure how much of it's going to be useful from day to day, but it is going to have a lot there for both inbound and outbound messages. NodeTool has had a bunch of changes. These are the differences between 3.11 and 4.0. Some of these, the previous talk just went through, and I'm not going to be talking about. And some of these are also just basically getters and setters for those config objects and or things like that. So I'm just not going to be talking about any of those. One that I want to highlight, because I care a lot about it, is the profile load command, which is a expansion of top partitions that I mentioned earlier. This is, in fact, top partitions is now an alias to this command. This included some refactoring and adding for more samplers, so potentially there's going to be additional samplers in the future. This has, from all the benchmarks that I've done and I've seen, this has no impact to latencies or throughput, but it gives you a lot of visibility into what's happening. That said, if you have 2,000 tables and you don't specify a table with profile load, it will end up sampling all those 2,000 tables, which might be an object overhead that you could notice. As a cursor, that's worth mentioning that you don't no longer have to tell what key space and table to profile. You can just say profile load and potentially duration. And then if you don't know what's happening or you have no idea, this will give you which tables have the most data coming through them and that kind of thing. So the frequency to the reads by partition is very simple, is the equivalent of the top partitions. This is number of reads to each partition within the period. And this is only going to provide the top 10 or so. It's configurable how many you want to display. The top number of writes, you know, something interesting that you might notice is that there's a lot of Paxos information going on, which then kind of leads to you looking at the fact that there's a lot of CAS contentions. So CAS contentions can end up causing if you're doing a lot of lightweight transactions or anything along those lines, you can potentially have situations where your application is trying to update the same thing at the same time over and over and over again, which is going to cause essentially like lock contention, which is then really useful to know so you can then take it back to the app team. Max mutations, we kind of mentioned that before, that has multiple effects that are negative to the system, both from a garbage perspective and from a, if it's too large, it'll get thrown away and just cause timeouts perspective. And one of the things that is a problem with the frequency being the thing that we're looking at top partitions is the thing that's being a problem might actually not be Nate hitting those reads 3,000 times a second. It might be some totally unrelated table that's only read very periodically. And this is an example where like this row 3 has 1 second time to read from. So while this row 1 was being read from very heavily, row 3 is the one that might actually be the problem because it's taking a second to do that read, which is definitely not something you would expect and should not be the case. Another new feature, which was mentioned in the previous talk, was a full query log. This has a lot of uses from an operator's perspective, both for upgrading testing, because you can record real production workload and then replay it in a test environment. You can compare the results in between running it in different versions and see if they're different, because that could be potential issues. You can debug problems if they're happening, because if you don't know exactly what the queries are happening during a period of time, you can run the full query logger and then go back in and analyze them. Or reproducing bugs, where you know that something has happens at a period, so you can record it and then replay it locally and then potentially debug that further. This is an example of doing that. Running the full query logger, you can just enable it and point it to a path, and it will start dumping data to that. There's a new command, the full query log tool, which has things dump, essentially, which is going to take that and dump a bunch of information out about it. There's a little bit more information in the full query log than the dump provides, like paging size and stuff like that, because all the different query options are stored. Then you can disable it and reset. I kind of wanted to mention that reset is basically an RMRF, because it really is. And if you are doing something like sharing the full query logs path with your log path, and you do reset, you'll delete all your logs. So that probably shouldn't be the case, but it is. With client stats, this is the same as I mentioned before with the virtual table, where I want to see the connected clients. This has a couple different views, though, where there's like a view like the default is just going to list number of connections by user. The dash dash all is going to be very similar to the virtual table, where I'm going to list out all the different connections and their information. There's also a by protocol, where when you're doing an upgrade, You want to make sure that you don't have any applications connecting with a version of the protocol that isn't compatible with the new version of Cassandra you're going to. So it's a very useful for verifying that kind of thing. And then there's some new commands as well to enable or disable the different protocol versions. Now kind of moving on to what we're going to see in the future, and I'm going to put this disclaimer out there that these are all opinions by me, 100% based on my own interests, and I am making no commitments or guarantees that they will be in or look like the way they are looking here, because some of them are still in review. The formats may change, and we might get someone come in and say that this is a terrible idea and we're not going to do it. So that out of the way. Some things I'd like to see is some more logging, primarily utilizing this no spam logger we have for things that are periodic but difficult to see, like write timeouts that happen very infrequently with no heap or no GC issues at all, no contentions, nothing. Those are really hard to diagnose. So if you don't necessarily see it even in the application logs, this might be something for that. Maybe more load profiling with like the profile load type sampling, something in the status logger to when there's a GC to actually tell me what the queries that are being run when the GC happens would be really useful. And speaking to that direction, Cassandra 15.241 exposes a new virtual table for what are the current running queries and how long they've been running. This, I think, is long overdue, and I'm actually going to hope that this gets into Cassandra 4.0, even though the alpha's already cut. I'm still hopeful because this is something that is, I think, instrumental to a database to know what queries are running. Some other Cassandra 14.630 is creating a SS table metadata and dump command virtual table, so you can actually do things like look at all the SS tables that exist, metadata about those tables. Here's like the SS tables, what this would look like, and this is all, as I mentioned with the disclaimer, may not happen or may look totally different. Information about each SS table, which has things that may be useful if you want to capture SS tables that have old data in them to like do things like use the SS table dump command. Also, the SS table dump command is actually, I think, a little bit more valuable because right now you can use the SS table dump command, but that requires you to either use like sudo on the box to like look at the direct data, which that's only if you trust that command, because there has been a lot of bugs in the past where we, you know, delete components of the SS table while executing the command. So if you are going to use the dump command, I would highly recommend you take a snapshot and copy the SS table elsewhere before looking at it. With this, you would be able to then, if you have something like, I want to know if this exists disk, or there might be a tombstone. I want to know if this tombstone exists on this system and things like that. This is a question for, maybe this is more for advanced users, but it's something that would be kind of valuable. One that would be very valuable is just knowing the size of a partition. So if, say, we found that in our profile load that Nate's partition is very slow to read, we could then look at this partition size virtual table to see how big is Nate's partition. Because right now, in order to do that, you would have to either read the data or you would have to run SS table metadata on each individual SS table that may contain the data, and then it actually has a thing that will look at the top partitions per SS table. But some others potentially, and by others, we're going to expect a lot of the existing node tool commands to be existing in virtual tables. So a lot of the things that you can do in node tool, we'd start seeing in the virtual tables. And maybe just some other things if anyone has an itch to scratch, like there was on a mailing list. Someone was talking about getting the audit log being visible in the virtual table or something along those lines. The sidecar, which was talked about previously, the SIP1 talks about having, this is a HTTP service to run beside Apache Cassandra to actually provide things like health checks. Is the instance healthy? Being able to run bulk commands right now when you run node tool, you run it on a single instance, but there's times where you want to be able to do things like, I want to set the cache capacity to double the size on the entire cluster at once. Right now, we rely on people having tools outside of Cassandra to do these kind of things, so moving that into Cassandra a little bit. Lifecycle things, just being able to stop and start and restart Cassandra is non-trivial. Scheduling, basically cron, and visibility into metrics, and maybe in the future we even see things like a UI and a dashboard and stuff like that. Maybe if there's a front-end developer in this room who would be interested in contributing things like that. But yeah, that's Sidecar. Any questions? Yes?
Regarding this full query log, you said something like you can record all the requests and then replay them.
Yes.
But it's just replaying without the parallelism, frequency, the rate of the request, just replaying the same queries on other system, yes?
Yeah. It'll just replay the queries with the same options and the same
Okay, and
things.
When you record it and there are like repetitive the same queries, are they still in the log or just they are like put there distinctly?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, the question is that if application sends 100 times the same query,
yes,
among other queries,
yeah,
in this log, we have then the same 100 queries?
Yes.
One after another.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And the time stamps and everything like that exist in there. So I don't know. I don't think it actually does. It'll do the time. Does it do the time spacing? No, it doesn't. So it'll just, yeah, it'll just replay them in the same order. So, but yes. OS stuff, I don't think there's anything along those lines coming down the line, primarily because it is on Java, and we don't, you know, there is the different. I think that would be a good thing to have some, maybe some disk block size might be a little bit more difficult, but things like CPU load would be a very obvious thing, you know, things like that, yeah. I think there is a, I know of a library in Java that does that, but it's not in Cassandra at the moment, so, but. Yes.
We should be able to provide tombstones for all pages.
Yes. The tombstones per read is what that one is. There could be further metrics in that as well. Yeah, this would show you how many tombstones are happening per read. The number of tombstones per table, I think you could actually capture, and you could even do things like, I mean, the virtual table is literally just an API, so you can attach anything to it, so contributions welcome. But the, like, there is information like that, because there's also information on, like, how many tombstones exist, when they expire, and things along those lines. So, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Why didn't you just like 6 years ago?
The ticket was open like 6 years ago. It's just. yes. No. You can write to virtual tables. The API supports it. We don't support it in the existing ones we have here, simply because with this first release, we wanted to be a little bit more careful with what we allowed people to do. But like as I mentioned with the settings table, in the initial thing, we actually did support doing stuff like changing the configuration settings through update and insert statements. So, yes?
Is there quite a lot requirements from
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Anything else? All right. Thank you for your time.